This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I recently read a quote that said, when people lose their way, when they lose their why. People lose their ways from Gail Hyatt. People lose their way when they lose their why. Well, you can turn that around, make it positive. People find their way when they find their why, the reason behind what we do, what we do. Now, during this All Aboard campaign, we've been talking about purpose built and really God's why for why we're building a building. We're building a building because it fits in with his purpose for us as a church. Many of you know the story of how the Ark got its name, but it was from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And we've understood that God's why for our church has always been that this church would be here for the saving of households. That people would have an opportunity to come in, to hear, to receive, and their lives would be changed, because when this is all said and done, really, it is all about people. 100 years from now, we might be hanging out at your mansion or mine. And you know what we're going to be talking about. We won't be talking about how nice the hallways were or wasn't the lobby nice. We won't be talking about the indoor playground. What we will be talking about is, aren't we glad that we had an opportunity while we were on the earth to be a part of making a difference in Montgomery County and around the world. We'll talk about people, and we'll see people there, and we'll point out, these are people that came in. These are people that were reached because this church was here, and this church was God's plan, and we jumped into the middle of that. And by the way, we will recognize one another there. If you think we're all going to be fat, naked baby angels shooting arrows at one another, you're wrong. We're going to recognize one another. We're going to see one, and we're going to look good. We're not going to be, the age you go to heaven is not the age you're going to be when you get there. You're going to look good. You get a whole new glorified body, no wrinkles, no fat, no dieting, no nothing. It's going to be wonderful. That's good. And we'll see people there, and we will not be high-fiving one another because the Astros won the first game of the game. Well, it was a good game, so we were happy. But you're going to say, hey, you might come up in heaven and just somebody go, hey, how about those Astros? And they're going to look at you and go, what? You say, hey, how about the fact that there were families on my block that were reached because this church was there and because we reached out? That's what matters the most. So, they tell us historically that a lot of churches don't make it to the fifth year, and that after the 10th year, they begin to go into decline. But you know what? I don't believe the historians have the whole word. And I am so glad that we've got a church full of people who believe that our best days are still in front of us. And we still have an opportunity to reach a lot of people. And this church is purpose-built for the saving of households. We've answered God's why for the Ark. But I hope during this series you've gotten a clear picture of God's why for your life. That the ministry is actually a ministry of the body of Christ. It's not simply of a preacher or a singer, but it's all of us together realizing that according to the scriptures, we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works that God ordained that we should walk in them. If you realize that God has a plan for your life, and whether or not you fully recognize that or not, it still exists, it's still out there, but he designed you for something really, really good, and that you get to be a part of his plan. Because you get to be a part of his plan, and part of that is that you would live a life that would honor and glorify him on the earth. I love the story of a little lady. She didn't have much money. She was rather poor, but she had such a heart for God. And every morning she would come out and stand on her porch. She just lift her hand. She said, Lord, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. She lived next door to a real grumpy old guy who was an atheist. And every morning, if he'd be out there on the porch and he'd see her just thanking God, he would shout over the fence, there ain't no God. He ain't real. And she would ignore him, just continue to worship God. One morning she was out doing her prayer time and she told the Lord, she said, Lord, she said, my money didn't come in this month. She said, I don't have any groceries. Could you help me with some groceries? Well, the old man heard it. And that night, while she was sleeping, he went out to the grocery store, bought her two big bags of groceries, and snuck on her porch and stuck them right there on her porch. And then he got up early in the morning and hid in the bushes just to watch. She came out to just do her morning routine of just praising the Lord. And she stopped and she saw those groceries and she lifted her arms. She said, "Lord, I want to thank you for giving me these groceries." And he popped his head up out of the bushes. He said, "I bought them groceries. There ain't no God." She looked at him. She looked back up at the Lord and she said, "Lord, I want to thank you that not only did you get me some groceries, but you made the devil pay for it." You want to live a life that honors God and glorifies Him. And lastly, you still want to be able, when it's all said and done, what we do. And I realize you say, "Alan, I have a job, or I stay at home. I really can't work for the kingdom of God." No, when you give, when you support, when you serve, you're helping to fulfill the great commission, which is to go into all the world. Because when it comes down, when it's all said and done, God loves people. And John 3:16 is still a favorite verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's still what it's all about. God's whys are really big. God's ways, well, we're learning those ways. This morning, I wanted to give you a little snapshot of some of God's ways and how he deals. And that helps us as we know how we walk with him, how we have a life with him, how we have a relationship with him. As we understand his ways, it makes it easier to walk with him and understand how he works. The story is the story of 10 men who were lepers and they had an encounter with Jesus. We'll read it here in Luke 17. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" What a great snapshot of God's ways. Leprosy is a disease that I did not realize. We still have some people with leprosy here in the United States. In fact, there's a colony in Louisiana where they are kept. Leprosy is a contagious disease. It eats away at the body from the outside in. You often lose body parts. It can prove to be fatal in many cases. And it's a horrible thing. If you've ever sat across the desk from a doctor who looked at you and said, "Hey, we found something in your test," or "Hey, we found a spot," you know how that kind of just wrenches the gut. Can you imagine these men when they would find out that we found a spot on you? And not only do you know that now you have a disease that can't be cured, but you can't even have your family around you because the Jewish laws were very strict on quarantine, and they would make sure that you had to live outside the camp, that you couldn't come around people, that you couldn't pass that contagious disease on. So not only do you know you have a disease that's killing you, but you also know that you are socially isolated and emotionally just cut off from your friends and family. Could you imagine? We saw these little kids come in. Could you imagine if you couldn't hug them, you couldn't love them, all you could do is wave and watch them grow up? What a horrible way to live. And these men were in that situation. I mean, when you got leprosy, your status changed immediately, and it went immediately to negative. So these men were, there were 10 of them. Often the lepers would get together, so they had some level of community. They would get together, and they were standing at the edge of the village when Jesus passed through. And they must have heard that Jesus was a healer, that Jesus was different, that Jesus was good. Because they got together and they said, we need to get Jesus' attention. So I think they must agree, say, "Okay, here's what we're going to shout. Are we going to ask for healing? No, you don't deserve healing. I know you, your life is bad. What are we going to do? Are we going to ask, can he give us some money? No, we don't need to ask for money. We need to get rid of this leprosy. Can he do that? Yeah, everything I've heard about this guy says he can heal leprosy. Okay, let's ask for mercy." And so they began to call out, "Jesus." They had to call from a distance. They couldn't come close to him. Had to call from a distance, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Now, it said pity in the translation that we read today, but the word actually is mercy. And it's not all bless your heart mercy. It's a mercy that says, "I see the miserable condition you're in, and I'm going to do something to alleviate that. Would you do something about our situation?" And the fact that they asked mercy indicated these guys knew something. They knew they did not deserve it. They're just asking for Jesus in His goodness and His graciousness. Jesus, would you do so? Would you have mercy on us? And Jesus answered them, but He answered them in a very different way. He gave them what I would call a faith directive. He didn't just say, okay, yeah, bless y'all's heart. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And that was a head scratcher to these guys. Here they were asking Jesus for mercy, and He says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, if you understand Jewish law, the book of Leviticus, I believe it's around 13 or 14, there are some very intricate laws that deal with leprosy. The Jewish people were light years ahead of everyone else when it came to maintaining and staying in quarantine and contagious diseases. And they had provisions that if you had leprosy, this is what you had to do. But they also had provisions that if you were healed of leprosy, this is what you do. Because God's always had healing available to His people. It's one of His mercies. And He healed people under the old covenant, and He healed people when Jesus walked the earth, and He still heals people today. And you see, as these people were supposed to go to the priest. Well, you only went to the priest if you were healed. See, a leper that got healed, he would go to the priest. We're not going to take your word for it. But the priest would examine him and test him for a number of days, and they would give an offering, and then the priest would declare him clean. Could you imagine that? He gets to go home. And so he said, go to the priest. But the problem was they only healed lepers went to the priest. Jesus hadn't healed them yet. And they could have really balked. But let me tell you something about the Lord. I know we deal with people that mess with you, and you've dealt with people that play jokes on you. One thing about the Lord I've noticed, He never says something to you and then go, oh, I'm just messing with you. He's not here to jack with your life. And that's not what He does. He didn't go, oh, I forgot. I hadn't healed you guys yet. No. You see, this was God's way. I'm sure they looked at one another and they said, but we're not healed. Why should we go to the priest? And they finally, they said, what else have we got to lose? And the Bible said, as they went, they were healed. So they started shuffling along, and all of a sudden, one of them looked at the other one and said, Sparky, your ear's grown back. He went, yeah, it has. Your nose is back. And they began to realize that the body parts that were missing were now back, and that they were healed, and they weren't shuffling along anymore. They were healed. Listen, when they stepped out, God stepped in. And when God steps in, it gets really big and really awesome. And as they went, can you imagine that group of nine? Man, they're just rejoicing. He said, well, what happened to the ten? Well, one of them backed up. He was a Samaritan. He really didn't live under Jewish law. He was one who really received a lot of mercy. And he basically said, y'all go ahead. I'm going to run on back here and thank the one who healed me and the one who did something awesome in my life. And Jesus said it was right for this guy to come back and give thanks. It's a little short snapshot of God's way. We talked about God's ways, but God's way, how He does things. I got good news for you guys. Jesus Christ is still the same. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, says this. It's a wonder. It's a keynote verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People say, well, Alan, the day of miracles has passed. No, it hasn't, because the God of miracles has never changed. He is still the same. And Jesus Christ is still the same. If He healed then, He heals today. If He had mercy then, He had mercy today. If He had answers then, He still has answers today. And the answers are still out there. Listen, we're living in a world that does not, if you start to figure out that we don't have the answers, we're looking around at our country. I've never seen it more divided. I've never seen it more just absolutely in turmoil with one another. And I thank God I can look past what's going on and say, I know someone who still has answers. Thank God, as we look at, as people talk about the fact that drugs, they've been fighting drugs ever since I was a kid. And we've been on the war on drugs. The war on drugs. Listen, I know someone who has the answer for drugs in people's life. And it's not government programs. It's the living Savior who can still do amazing things in their life. He's still the same. He still has answers. And thank God, He's still merciful. The Bible says we have a merciful high priest. I don't know a one of us that's been perfect. Y'all think Joy is? She's not. I live with her and I know. In fact, I'm just going to give you a little secret about Joy. If you'd like me to tell her just a little something about Joy. She really doesn't like dogs. See, that's a sin where I grew up, man. That's horrible. You don't like... We have a little dog, and every now and then she would reach her little hand out and touch him on the top of the head like, I'm going to pet you and hope you go away. What I'm saying is this. It's that God's merciful, and we think, I have to be perfect to receive his mercy in our life. No, the Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Jesus is still merciful. He's still changing lives. October 12th was this Friday. For those of you who don't celebrate October 12th, I understand, but Joy and I celebrate. That's the day I walked down to a pool in Clear Lake City and saw a vision in a leopard print bikini and went, hello, girl. That's the day I met Joy, but we talk about meeting that day, and the reason that day stands out so clearly is because exactly 1 week later, this same young lady looked at me and said, no, she said, you can never be my husband. She said, the man I marry is going to be the spiritual head of my house. And I began to weep and took her home and fell across my bed. And we celebrate that day because that was the day 37 years ago that I came back to the Lord Jesus Christ and brought him into my life again. And that was a life changer. I got more than just a girlfriend. I got more than just a wife. I got a Savior who absolutely has guided me and led me, been merciful and had answers for me. And he's good. Jesus hasn't changed. You know, Jesus also still gives faith directives. He still whispers little faith directives. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, that's how we started our life with God. You see, I wasn't there when the angels came and began to declare glory to God in the highest because the baby was born. I wasn't there, but I believe it took place. I wasn't there when Jesus began to walk the shores of Galilee and perform miracles and do amazing things. I wasn't there, but I believe it took place. I was not there when Jesus gave his life on the cross and he bled and died. I was not there, but I believe it took place. And I believe 3 days later, he came out of that tomb. I did not see it, but I believe it took place. And when I made that decision without seeing, without feeling a thing, I said, Jesus, come into my life. He came immediately and my life changed. That's how we start our life with God. That's how we continue our life with God. See, I realize some of you made faith commitments, and some of you wrote down numbers and you went, whoa. Maybe they scared you a little bit. I like something one of our ladies here has been with us a long time. Her name is Sook. If you've never met Sook, Sook is from South Korea. She's a sweetheart. Her English isn't great, but her understanding is real good. So don't talk loud to her. She can hear you real well. But Sook came to me and she said, I'm so glad, Alan, that we did these campaigns. She said, because every time we do these campaigns, she said, it gives me an opportunity to stretch my faith. And that's what some of you have done. Some of you have made a faith commitment and you stepped out. But here's something good. When you step out, God steps in. And when you step out and say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm planting this seed. I'm going to be a part of this. When you step out, God steps in. Listen, guys, that's how this church started. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I asked God, give me a church. Give me a church with at least 300 people that has a building and a budget. I prayed for that. Never happened. And finally, I stopped saying, okay, Lord, do you have another idea? Yeah, he did. Start a church. Lord, I really don't know if I want to start a church, but if you give me a church, Lord, that has people in it and a building and like an administrative assistant and a good salary, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do that. And the Lord, he never answered me on that, but he said, start a church. I'm like, so we started. We didn't have people. We had two couples. We didn't have a building. We had a Montessori center. We didn't have a budget. We had the budget of Clayton. It was low. It was like $1,500. And that's how this church started. But guys, when we stepped out, God stepped in. And when we stepped out, the people began to come. The budget began to come. The building began to come. It never starts. Listen, you don't get the whole picture with God. You get one step. But if you'll make one step, he'll meet you right there. So I want to encourage you. Some of you have made great steps. You say, well, Alan, I've made a step of faith. What do I do now? Well, here's what you can do. One, you can keep expecting something good to happen. Just keep your expector out there. Lord, I didn't just give a donation. I planted a seed. I'm expecting to see some marvelous things. I'm expecting to see marvelous things in my church. I'm expecting to see marvelous things in my life. So you keep expecting. And then here's another one. Here's one of the best things you can do. Just remember to thank God on a regular basis. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Thank you. You've been good to me. Thank you. Thank you before you ever see it, before you ever feel it. Remember, we take the step of believing to come to the place of seeing and feeling. So, Lord, I'm just going to thank you. And then here's the last one. Do this. Don't make sure that your words are good about your situation. Bob Capp said it, and I told him I'd give him credit at least twice, and I'm stealing this phrase. Don't speak against what you're praying for. Mark 10:27 says this. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. What are you going to say in the coming days and months? You're going to say, Lord, thank you. You're doing amazing things in my life. Thank you, Lord. With you, all things are possible. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing great things in our church. Thank you, Lord, that I believe that the best days of our church are still ahead. You say, Alan, you say that all the time. Why? Because I believe that with God, all things are possible. And our best days, our most productive days, our best days are coming up. They're not just here. Because with God, you don't go backwards. You go from glory to glory, and it gets better and better. And with him, all things are possible. And listen, what we're doing, I'm encouraging you to do, this is what we're saying about the church. We're expecting, we're thanking God, and we're speaking life over you. We believe good things are happening. When a friend of mine, Keith Moore, and I talked about this project, he said, Alan, he said, you got to understand, it's more than just a building. It's what God does in the lives of the people as they build it. In Nehemiah had a phrase, and he was getting a lot of opposition about building, but he said this to his enemies. He said, the God of heaven will prosper us, and we, his servants, will arise and build. I believe that God is blessing and prospering us, and we, his servants, will all rise and build, because we've still got some great things to do for the kingdom of God in the days ahead. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? This morning, if you came and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, I know that he knows that, but I'd like to have that. Or you're saying, I've been away from God, but I want to come back. We're going to say a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but sitting right there where you are in your seat, this is an opportunity for you to make a connection with God. It's an awesome connection. But the one who loves you, with the one who has answers for you, with the one who changes your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, would you pray for me? I do want a relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Just shoot your hand up real quick across the auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate your courage. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you wanted to. That's all right. Listen, you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray with you out loud. As a whole church family, this is a heart changer, a life changer, an eternity changer. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Now, Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, for those who've come back home or those who've come to your kingdom for the very first time, thank you for that. We appreciate that. Father, for those of us here today, those who have sowed, those who've committed, those who are moving forward with you, we thank you, Father. Good things, because you're a good God. So we expect good things in the days ahead. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be a part of a church like this. We appreciate all that you've done, and we anticipate all that you will do. For your honor and your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.